What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Carol Leibel. She is the Chief Executive Officer at Domini Impact Investments. We had an awesome conversation that started, of course, with Two Truths and a Lie. And then we got into the world of sustainable impact investing, how it's important, even though not easy, to consider our collective legacy and what we're leaving to our kids and our grandkids from an environmental slash planetary perspective, and what each one of us can do about that simply through the allocation of our money when we are making investment decisions. So even if you have an account that's got $2,000 in it, or your 401k or some IRA, you can be thoughtful about how it is you're investing, what you're investing in, and that can have a really big impact on the environment and the future of the planet. We close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Carol, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Okay. Number one, my love of the beach has inspired me to be an avid surfer.
Oh.
Number two, my home is near the beach and was built in the 1880s.
Oh.
And number three, in high school, I was a cheerleader and planned to be a flight attendant so I could travel the world.
These are exceptional. These are exceptional, and I don't think you've ever been a flight attendant, so that could have been just an unrealized dream, but it's never too late. Your home is built in the 1880s near the beach. Excellent detail there, and your love of the beach has led you to become an avid surfer. All right. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that you live in Brooklyn. I don't know if there's a lot of surfing going on. So I'm going to say the first one is the lie, Carol.
You got it. Good job, George. Most people have a hard time connecting a CPA with like a cheerleader wanting to travel the world as a flight attendant. And it was kind of a crazy road that got me here, but there it is. And you know, I did tell a woman who is a CFA in our office that, and she says, "Oh, no, I can totally see that." I said, "Okay, good." So not completely the nerdy accountant, still hanging on a little bit to the cheerleader that wanted to be a flight attendant.
I think that that's awesome. You know, my mother was a flight attendant. And so I appreciate that. That's a great career. She eventually went on to become a school teacher. But I think that when she was in college, she just thought, you know what? What an opportunity to see lots of different places and travel the world. And I think back more than 20 years ago, the airline business was just more attractive and romantic and more of an opportunity from a career standpoint than maybe we perceive it to be today.
Well, it's a great way to, you know, certainly a great way to see the world, meet a lot of people, do a lot of different things. I guess just once I got into college and got onto the business track, somehow that led me to accounting and finance and investing. Here we are today. But maybe when I retire, that'll be the second career.
I think why not? And you have a love of fixing houses because when a house is built in the 1880s, stuff occasionally goes wrong with it, Carol. So.
Well, yes, my husband and I think we're brilliant in that vein and that we bought it after it had been remodeled.
So
smart. It was somebody else's problem. And then we knew what we had going into it. So.
Got it. Smart. All right. Well, that was fun. I like it, Carol. Good job. What is top of mind for you right now?
So I know it's sort of like plunging into the heavy right away. And I think I'm not alone with some of these thoughts, but I'll say broadly speaking, you know, our collective legacy, right? What is the future that we're going to leave behind for the next generation? And we're facing some serious, or said differently, systemic challenges that we really need to be staring down. Our population is 8 billion anticipated to grow to 10 billion, right? So there's a book called Small Planet, Big World. I think that describes it well. A lot of people on a very small planet. Climate change is upon us. It's having its impact. Those extreme weather events, average temperature rise, oceans warming, very, very significant challenges. And the planet's resilience is being challenged. And I've heard an analogy with the Earth where, and it's true of all systems, resiliency starts off stronger. And the longer and longer that that resiliency is pushed on, the weaker it gets. And we're pretty close to that with our planet. We're reaching those planetary boundaries or those tipping points where we're going to be entering a realm that we can't model and we can't know what it looks like. So thinking about these things, you can't help but think the time to act is now. We want to keep our planet vibrant and healthy to pass on to the generations, the future to come. And, you know, there's some thought that we'll innovate our way out of it. And I think there is a reality that there will be innovation that will help. But I think we also need to be thinking about, you know, our impact, our practices, and our business models as another tool in that toolkit to protect the planet.
Well, that is pretty heavy, Carol.
Hell yeah. For Friday. For the time. But top of mind, you know, it's like, I think of it, you know, as a mother with adult children who are now thinking about starting their family. Like, you really can see the legacy in the years out and the years ahead to come.
It is a, I'm turning 47 in 2 days, and it's an interesting place to be because I'm mature enough to be able to look backwards and sort of observe what's gone well and what's, you know, sort of not gone well, and then look forward too at what I want things to look like. And so I appreciate everything you're saying. I have three children, and the time to act is always now, but sometimes we human beings need something extreme to happen. Like, I get diagnosed with cancer to change my behavior, whatever it might be. And so right. I appreciate everything that you said, and I certainly can't disagree.
And there are some interesting challenges when you're thinking about climate change, because a lot of these extreme weather events are localized. So they impact pockets in doses, right? But stringing them all together and saying, here are the things that are happening, or even the cost of undoing the damage that's been done, they're pretty staggering figures. So I think if we all pay attention to that collective impact, that's our moment to act. Like you say, you know, that cancer diagnosis, like suddenly people find the way to quit smoking or find the way to eat healthy or find the way, you know, because it's an existential need. Well, we have an existential need now, and it impacts our global population.
And so impact investing in your work, how are you feeling like you're able to have an impact on this problem?
So I think it always helps for an individual to think about it from their perspective. And if we think to ourselves that every dollar that we put out into the world has impact, it can be positive or it can be negative. And we do that every time we make a purchase, right? Do we buy organic or green or, you know, are we going for an everyday low price that may not have those attributes? But we also do it with our retirement savings or, you know, the bank we choose to bank with. And here at Domini Impact Investments, when we're thinking about the companies that we're putting into our portfolios, we have two goals: universal human dignity and ecological sustainability. Now, those two things are both incredibly intertwined. They're often hard to take apart and dissect. Now, we're doing all of that work consistent with understanding that people are saving for their future as well, right? So it's not just the future of the planet or its people, it's for themselves as well. And we believe intuitively that when you, as a company, behave in a way that is good for people and the planet, it's typically good for your business. So we believe that we can apply these non-traditional criteria in our investment process and provide competitive returns from a philosophical point of view. Because, as I say, what's good for people on the planet is typically good for your business. Now, sometimes there's some bumpiness in the short term, you know, energy surges and we don't invest in fossil fuel. There may be a short-term period there of underperformance related to that. But then we find, as we often do with fossil fuels, it goes up and it goes down, but over the long term, it's pretty neutral. So our funds, our mutual funds, are long-term investments. And, you know, we see that the issues that we're looking at are often manifest themselves in stock price over the longer term. So they're important to pay attention to. We'd like to say it's a triple bottom line approach: people, planet, and profit.
People, planet, and profit. I like that a lot. When you're talking to people, is what are the primary pushbacks that they give you for not wanting to do impact investing?
So it's interesting. I think for most people, it's a matter of they don't know yet that it exists, or they don't connect the dots. So I've met people that are avid environmentalists and they recycle and they purchase green and they reduce their footprint in their home everywhere they can. And they drive an electric vehicle, you know, everywhere they can, that they can reduce their personal carbon footprint, they do. And yet when I say to them, oh, well, how do you have your 401k plan invested? They look surprised at that connection. And what I find is most people, when they learn about the power of finance and how you can channel your money to build that future you want to live in, that's when the dots get connected and they can make that difference. And a lot of investors will come to it first with, well, what are the things I don't want to own? Right? So, and we think about that as sort of the pretty simple part of our work in terms of what fundamentally is misaligned with those goals of ecological sustainability and universal human dignity. And those are things like fossil fuels, right? We don't invest in fossil fuels. We don't invest in weapons or tobacco, alcohol, gambling, for-profit prisons, or immigration detention centers. That's based on the revenue that companies earn tied to those activities. So that's pretty straightforward. What it really comes down to is when you have companies that you're trying to think about, what is their overall profile? And it's not this automatic exclusion, but how am I going to use these non-traditional criteria to help me pick better companies that will perform better in the future That's where the expertise and the long-term historical perspective comes in. So at Domini, we've been at this work dating back to 1991. It's all we do. So we're exclusively focused on impact investing, and we apply one set of impact standards to all of our products. So once you look at our Domini Impact Investment Standards, which you can download on our website as a PDF, read through them. It's 60 pages of detail on the types of things that we think about, and helps you really get a sense. And what we find is not pushback, but almost people embracing us because they say, oh, well, I came to you for this one issue, and now I get all of these other things as part of the package. And so we build our standards on what we consider that classic impact investor to be looking to integrate into their portfolio. So we like to say, as close to a one size fits all set of standards as possible.
Which certainly makes sense. And what you've just described sounds good to me. And why wouldn't I do that? And I guess I would answer that I'm not really interested in sacrificing too much rate of return, but maybe a little bit. So how do you think about that? Or how do you answer that question? Because it could be that you're outperforming the market.
Yeah, so that's basically our response. Our job is to deliver competitive performance. Our job is to make sure that you get that rate of return that you don't have to give up, right? And that's why I was saying sort of the intuitiveness of applying. Every investor, given more data points or more things to consider, that impact business is hungry for that information. We just have a different viewpoint or a different lens that we're looking at. So philosophically, we say you shouldn't have to give up performance. The beauty of the sustainable investing community now versus when we first started our work in 1991 is the data is there. Right now, we have almost 30 years of data. At the start, we really couldn't answer that question of, like, well, what would the impact on performance be? Intuitively, we thought it would be additive, but we didn't have the data. Now there are lots of data, lots of studies, meta studies that have been done, and studies of indexes that have been done. And it's been teased out and granular, like, at the company level, at the market level, so the index, and even at the product level across mutual funds. And when you look at those longer term periods, there is not an inherent cost, right? But like anything else, you have to know who is managing your money. That makes a difference. And you have to be sure that you're invested in a product that's aligned with your investment horizon. So if you want to make a deposit and you know you need that money in a year, you shouldn't be invested in a long-term product, right? Because longer-term products could be a little bit bumpier, and it may not be an ideal time for you to pull out your money at that point. So that was a long way of saying there isn't a cost to impact investing. There are a lot of studies that back that up. And I think it's intuitive as well.
Yeah, well, I think that makes sense. And I was trying to think, oh my goodness, 30 years ago, there couldn't have been that many people talking about impact investing.
There was virtually nobody. Two of our founders, Amy Dominy and Steve Leidenberg, have really helped to build the industry to where it is today. Through their book writing, their speaking, their sharing of their knowledge, and even their building of the industry. So I was listening to one of our founders talk about how when they first started their work in 1990, there was no corporate sustainability reporting. You had to send a letter to a company, ask them for their annual report, get it in the mail, highlight it, stick it in your file cabinet. It was all paper. But now you can just look at their website, look at their corporate sustainability reporting, or look through press, because now there's a lot more press coverage on these matters that are now meaningful to people. So I think people have made the connection between the impact of corporations and business on, you know, workers, investors, supply chains, but also the planet and the environment.
So one of the most I'm annoyed highly by all of a sudden, this is important and it is meaningful to a lot more people. And that's going to motivate more people to say, oh, I'm a ESG, I'm a green, and I'm a da 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 da. When in fact, they're just slapping labels on things. And I would imagine that you're offended by that, or at least irritated, as somebody who's been a dynamic, real actor in the space for as long as your firm has been. And I think it's also evidence that it's so important to be working with an advisor who knows what to be looking for, so you avoid that kind of thing.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts there. So one of the things I think that we as an organization do, we're very transparent. We share what our standards are, what we're doing in the investment process, not just for investors to understand when they invest in our product, but really for the financial community to take that and use that and see, right? We believe it's the way all investing should be done. So we like to welcome as many people into the community of sustainable investing as possible, both the firms producing product as well as the investors looking to align their savings with their values. I think the key point you touched on is the advisor. Sometimes there's resistance in the advisor community. They're very busy. They already have full-time jobs. They have a book of business that they have to service. And this seems a whole new realm of investing that they need to learn. At Domini, we have done our best to make that work easy for them. With that transparency, with the publication of our impact investment standards, they don't have to try to dissect what's on a website and try to explain that to a client. They can just download the brochure or ask us for printed copies and hand that to their client. They said, you know, their client has come in, they've voiced an interest in sustainable investing, and they can literally hand them the impact investment standards and say, is this aligned with what you're thinking? Because if so, I have product for you. So I think the investor community warming up to it, the investors themselves kind of pressing their advisor and saying, look, I want this. This is important to me. And the beauty of it is then it creates these different dialogues and conversations that the advisor and the client have never had before. What's important to you? What types of things do you want considered in your investment product? And suddenly there are very, you know, personal conversations that are being had and frankly are typically much more interesting to a client than just, what's the bottom line? How much money did you make me or lose? Sometimes you go in for your quarterly review with your financial advisor and you want to just say, just flip to the end slide. I just want to know what the punchline is, you know. But here there's more to talk about. And we call it like the social bonus. So it's not just the financial return, but it's what other things has your money been at work doing? So at Domini, again, to make that transparent to both the investor, but also make the job of the advisor easier, we provide a quarterly impact report, which says, like, in the past 3 months, here's what your money has done. And it's strictly all on the environmental and social impact. And then on an annual basis, we put a more comprehensive summary together. So those are, again, are both tools that the advisor can use to interact with their client.
I love it. Well, Carol, you've already given us a lot of great information, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Okay. I'm going to say, consistent with my theme, you know, recognize the power of your money. whether it's a 401k plan, whether it's an IRA, whether it's a savings, you know, a non-taxable savings account that you have on deposit, recognize the power of that money. Harness the power of finance to help build that future that you want to live in and you want future generations to live in. And you can do that. So some people are overwhelmed, like, oh, it's my 401k plan. Like, how do I do that? Start off with your HR team. Go to them and say, you know, I've been learning about sustainable investing. I'm interested. What do we have on our platform? Do we have access to those products? Can you add one for those of us that are interested? Because I do find with 401k plan administrators, unless the request comes in from what they call, you know, the grassroots or the participants that they're eager to have those products, it probably isn't going to get offered. So like, be that spark that gets that choice listed on your platform. Or think about your IRA and should you roll it over to a sustainable investing group? Or do you have some old 401k plans with an employer maybe that you left years ago, that money you're not really thinking about, and can you roll that into a sustainable investing fund? So that's your takeaway. Kind of think about your pockets of money. And sometimes people say, well, you know, my account's only $2,000. What difference will that make? But I can assure you, all of these investors with $2,000 coming together in one community pools into billions of dollars. And that does make a difference.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Got to vote with your dollars, Carol. And yes, every single one of us can have an impact. And to begin, we simply must begin. The time is now. So thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
So the easiest is just domini.com. So domini.com, chock full of information. You can read, peruse, see those impact investment standards, but you can also click on open an account, poke around a little bit, see what it takes. There's an 800 number. You can call and talk to somebody, get more information on the standards or the companies, or even just a how to, like, how can I do this? How can I talk to my HR people? You know, so call, get assistance, use your resources, and hopefully enjoy the content that's there and the amount of detail.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Carol your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to domini.com, domini.com, and check out all the great resources if you're not familiar with impact and sustainable investing, or if you've been interested in it for a really long time, now is the time to get started. So again, domini.com, check out all the great resources. Thanks again, Carol.
Thanks, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.